We're in the middle of Torah Aleph, and we put them on Tanina. We're up to Eis Yud, and we're going to be branching out today in whole new concepts and everything, very, very interesting things. 30-second summary of what we had till now. We started talking about Memshala over Malachim. We said that in order to protect yourself from the kinah of the Malachim, you attach yourself to the Kiseh HaKovod, which means the Neshamos of Bnei Yisrael, specifically by attaching yourself to the leaders. And we said that in order to recognize the difference between the true leaders and those that aren't true, you have to perfect your Yira, you have to be Zoichet to Yira Sholem, to perfect your heart. And we said there are three things that subtract from or mess up the Yira Shebelev. They were Taivas Momoin, Taivas Achila, Taivas Meshagel, which is Taivas Noshim. And we said that in order to correct those, you need Seichel, the type of Seichel that comes from the three Yamim Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, which corresponds to those three Taivos. And we said that once a person perfects this Yira Shebelev, he's Zeichet to the Binyan Yerushalayim, he's Zeichet to create the Malach, that's Mashpia the Nevuah, to the Klei HaNevuah. And we said there's one thing that could challenge that could threaten that could harm that, that's called Hismanus. Person gets appointed to a position of leadership or responsibility when he's not really worthy of it. That could damage this whole Hashpah of Nevuah and everything. And we said, we spoke about that topic a little bit. And then we said that when this Hashpah of Nevuah is good, then this Hashpah of Nevuah helps Tefillah tremendously. It redeems, it's Goyel the Tefillah. That's the wording that was used. That was one of the last things we explained. And we said that when the Tefillah is redeemed, then there's no longer a need for doctors. It eliminates the whole need for doctors, period. Today we're going to be expanding on that concept, the need for doctors. And Rabbi Elazar said, when there's no need for doctors, it means there's no need for medication. The person could have his medicine in bread and water, in ordinary bread and water that he drinks. Now we're up to Eis Yud. Pay attention. We're going to learn a lot of interesting things. Rabbi Elazar says, "Ach, however, yesh gimel avoidos shehei mafsidin avoidas hatfila." Even if a person did everything we said till now, and he even perfected himself in Taivas Momoin, Taivas Achilo, and Taivas Noshim, and he had all the things we said till now, there still exists a potential for three things that we're about to present to damage and to threaten everything we spoke about till now. Meaning, although he was misakin everything we said till now, these things could still subtract. There are three things that are mafsid the avodas hatfila, that decrease from the power, the success of a person's tefila. Vehem gimel midos. They are three characteristics. Hainu, these as follows. Aleph, number one, al tehi boz lechol adam. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, be careful not to be that type of person who insults everybody. There are people who sit and all day they look people up from head to toe or from toe to head, looking to find what they can say insulting about this person, to find the chesronos in people. That's one very bad characteristic that a person could have that could subtract from the power of tefillah. How? What's the association with tefillah? We're going to show soon. First, absorb them. That's number one. Sheloi levazois shum odom. A Jew has to be zeicher, to elevate himself to a level where he doesn't insult anybody. He doesn't insult any person whatsoever. Beis, the second item that could subtract from the avodas hatefila is avodah zarah. A person who worships idols. Do we mean specifically idol worship? Rabbi Nazal says, va'afilu kilkul emuna. Even the slightest spoilage of one's emuna, she'ein ho'emuna b'shleimus, where a person's faith is not 100%, hu gam kein b'chinas avodah zarah. That's also a category of avodah zarah. As the Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh said, on the Pusik in Kriya Shema, Visartem Va'avadatem Elokim Acherim, the Pusik says, Visartem, you will turn away from Hashem, Va'avadatem Elokim Acherim, and you will worship idols. The Baal Shem Tov says that what this Pusik is coming to teach us is, that a person who makes the tiniest, the slightest turn away from Hashem is a turn in the direction of Avodah Zarah. That's classified already as a touch, a tinge of idol worship. V'sartem, you will turn away 1 degree. V'avadatem elokim acherim. That could already be classified as a touch of Avodah Zarah, chas v'shalom. So Rabbi Nezal says here that the slightest kilkul ho'emuna could subtract from the potency of one's tefillah. That's the second thing. And Gimel, the third thing is Shmiras HaBris. A person being exceptionally pure in Shmiras HaBris, in everything that's related to purity in association with women, in Machshavo, in Dibor, and in Maiseh, Hainu Mi She'enoi Shemir HaBris Koroi, a person who doesn't protect his bris properly, that person also, this also subtracts from tefillah. What's the obvious question? We had this already. Didn't we list Taivas Mishagel as one of the three Taivas which supposedly the person has corrected? So Rebbe Zal points out in his Likud Emoran, I don't know if he got this from the Mefroshim in the back, I didn't get a chance to check, that this obviously is referring to a different level. There we spoke about correcting Taivas Noshim, it means in a general sense, a person perfecting this. Here we're talking about Misha Shemra Bris, this means like in every particular detail conceivable. That was a person who has purity in Shmira Sabris in every single Nekuda, meaning Tznius, for example, or the person who's very modest in dress and how they talk Bechlau. In other words, this refers to a higher level of Shmira Sabris than that which was referred to in when we said Taivas Mishavio, correcting Taivas Mishavio. There the word Shmira Sabris wasn't used. Rabbi Zal qualifies it to say that these are two different items. One is a general concept of being pure in this thing. Now we're talking about this, the tiniest deficiency in Shmira Sabris is upsetting to tefillah even after you've corrected everything we said till now. You understand? The word, yeah.
So what specifically, because it's a more broader term?
In other words, that here we're talking about any tiniest pigam in Shmira Sabris. The wording that Rabbi Zal says here is, Af shetiken kanal, even though he perfected what we said before, Taivas Mishagel, still, mikol mokoim yizoher mipigam kol shehu. In other words, to watch himself from the tiniest pigam, and that would not fall into the category of Taivas Mishagel. Taivas Mishagel means this person actually has a solid desire, illegal type of desire for women. Now we're not talking about that anymore. We're talking a person who wants to be zeichet to shleimus hatfila, baloney. He has no desire for women, but there could be a pigam kolshu with shmira sabris, and that could subtract from the avodas hatfila.
As long as they're in such a weak generation,
right?
And their people are actually, is there anything that person to try to make sure that the tefillah is in, so you know, it's so very hard to get the shleimus
attach himself to tzaddik? Tzaddik, exactly. Tzaddik is a unit of Tikkun HaBris. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the word tzaddik means pure in this specific item. So by us attaching ourselves to tzaddikim and nullifying ourselves to these tzaddikim, the person says, I'm nothing. I'm simply a Talmud of my Rebbe. In other words, when I come to Daven Hashem, I don't come as a total entity. I come as a student, a part of an organization, where I'm one member who's also trying to help in building this third Beis HaMikdash, building this Mishkan. By doing that, he's attaching himself to an organism that is a Shemir HaBris, that is pure Tikkun HaBris. So hopefully, that can overshadow his own personal deficiencies. Okay, so Rabbi Nezal says, these three items, kol gilu midos elu, hein bechinas avoidos de sitra achra. These three items that we said about insulting people, about a pigam, a kilkul in Amuna, the tiniest kilkul in Amuna, which we called avoidos zoro, or the tiniest pigam in Shmira Sabris, these three things are referred to as the avoida of the sitra achra, that word avoida. Umafsidim avoidas hatfilo. And we mentioned in last week's shir, ula avdoi b'chol avavchem. The Gemara asks, eizeu avoida shebaleiv, haviyemer zu tfila. Tfila is called the avoida of kedusha. These three things, we're about to prove that these three things are called avoida also. but they are the avoida of the satan. We're going to prove this now from Sukkim, that each one of these three things we just mentioned is referred to in the Torah as avoida, the opposite type of avoida, an avoida that subtracts from the avoida satfila. How? Number one, Bizui Anoshim, insulting people, Bechinas Avoida, is referred to as a concept of Avoida. Kemoi Shemotzinu Ba'ache Yosef, as we find by the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik, Al Sheb Bizu Oisoi, the fact that they insulted him, they called him names and everything, V'loi He'eminu Shehu Yeh Melech, they didn't believe that he was the one who was going to be king over all of them. Aydeze Noflu Lebechinas Avdus, we find the Torah says that they fell into a concept of Eved. As the pasuk says, the Omrolai, they said to Yosef Atzadik, Hinenu lecho lo avodim. In other words, we're willing to become servants of yours. Note, because they insulted him, they fell into an opposite type of avoida, Eved, a bechina of a slave, which is the opposite of the avoida satfila, which is a melech. A person who davens to Hashem is a bechina's ben melech, not Eved. Number two, avoida zoro. Kama Yishikosu, the Pasuk says, Anoichi Hashem Alekecha, Asher Hoitzei Sicho, Meretz Mitzrayim, Mi Beis Avodim. I am Hashem, who took you out of Egypt, the place of slaves. I am Hashem. That commandment is the commandment of faith in Hashem. Anoichi Hashem Alekecha, that's the opposite of Beis Avodim, of being in the Beis Avodim. Ki Eretz Mitzrayim Maleo Gilulim V'Avodah Zorah. The land of Mitzrayim was full of Avodah Zorah, all kinds of Avodah Zorah. So we see that the commandment, which refers to Emunah, faith in Hashem, Anoichi Hashem Alekecha, is the opposite of Beis Avodim. That's also, we see the word Avodah used there. V'alkei nikroim beis avodim. That's why the land of Mitzrayim is called beis avodim. Bechinas avdus hanal. It's this concept of avoido zoro. That's why it was called beis avodim, referring to the worship of idols specifically. That's what it's called. That's also called avoido. Yes, definitely. Rabbi Nezal says the third thing, Shmiras Habris, the third thing, Mishe Poygim Boy, who gam kein bechinas Eved. A person who is Poygim in Bris, we find the Torah also uses the term Eved about him. Bechinas Chom, who is the example of Pigam HaBris Chom, who uncovered his father Noyach when his father was drunk and he was undressed. He came in to look at him and that whole thing, that whole issue, this Amachlekes, where he came in to look at him, what to have relations, Chas V'Shalom, with his father. Shenemar Boy, the Pasuk says, Orur Kenan Eved Avodim Yelecha. Note, what was the curse? Slave. The curse was, again, this word Avoida. So we see that these three items, insulting a person, or Kilkul Emuna, or Pigam HaBris, are all, the term Avoida is used about them also. And these are three things which subtract from the other kind of Avoida, from the Avoida Satfilon. Rabbi Nezal says, V'tzorich lotzeis megim avoida selu. A person has to see to it to pull himself out, to extricate himself from these three worships of the wrong kind of avoida. Dahainu mi gimel midos hanal. These three types, could a person be zeichet to the avoida of tefillah? Once he's brought himself to a level where he never says anything derogatory about another Jew, about another person, plus his emuna is b'shlemos, he doesn't have the tiniest kilkel in emuna, plus his shmira sabri, his impurity, then his tefillah is b'shlemus. V'oz yechaylin lehisrapois b'chol davar sheba'odilam. And then such a person could draw his power of being cured from an illness from anything in the world, afilu belechem umayim kanal, even bread and water, as we explained in the previous chapter, that a person who zeichet to tefillah, which is the Dvar Hashem, that person doesn't have to come on to medicines. He draws his cure from the source of the source of the source, which medicine draws its refuah from. He draws from the Dvar Hashem, which gives to the malachim, which gives to the koychavim, which gives to the grass from which medicine is made of. So he said that a person who zeichet to tefillah, the Dvar Hashem, he doesn't have to come on to medicine. He can get his refuah even from lechem and mayim, we explained last week. So Rabbi Nezal says, a person who's zeichet to rid himself of these three midos, which subtract from tefillah, that person is zeichet to shleimus ha-tefillah, and then he can get his refuah from everything. Now Rabbein Ezal takes a Mishnah in Psachim, which you would think has nothing whatsoever to do with this, and Rabbein Ezal puts a tiny, tiny adjust, not an adjustment. He opens your eyes to show you how that Mishnah, in another way, is hinting to what we just said. There's a Mishnah in Psachim that says, Halacha, Bakoil Misrapim, a Jew is permitted to use anything as a medicine. A Jew is permitted to make medicine from any item. Note, even unkosher items at times. Now note, there are many rabbis today, unfortunately, who just learned this Mishnah. They didn't bother looking into the Shulchan Aruch or looking into the detail of the Shulchan Aruch. This doesn't make it a mitzvah to get treif medicine. This means naturally, 1,000,000,000% over, that only if a person is very sick, or it could be sakona chas v'shalom, then we say he's allowed to use even something or suffix sakona, then he can use something treif for medicine, if there's no kosher form of that medication. But it's understood if a person has a little cold and he's got to take a capsule and the capsule has a gelatin cover, that's no heter to just forget medication. That doesn't have to be kosher. Baloney. But the Mishnah says here in Psachim, Bakoil Misrapin, a person is allowed to use any kind of medication, chutz, except Mi Avodah Zarah, an item that was used for idol worship. Let's say the goyim use a certain type of plant or something to worship an idol. You're not allowed to use that to make medication from. Or Gilui Arayos or Shfichas Damim. If a person's cure involves committing any one of these three sins, forget it. Let him not be cured. This is what the Mishnah says. So Rabbein Ezal says now, Vizeh Pirish, now we can understand another interpretation of this Mishnah. Note, the Gemara says that there's Shivim Ponim LaTeira. The same Mishnah can be explained many different ways. Not that we're saying that we don't accept the Pshat. This is another Pshat in the Mishnah. Bakoil Misrapin. Hainu b'chol davar sheba'olam yecholin lehisrapos. A Jew has a capacity to be able to draw his refuah from anything on this earth. Ubitnai, on one condition, chutz me'avodah zarah, v'gilui arayos u'shfichas damim. Dahainu, meaning if he has excluded himself from the category of these three sins, then he'll be able to get his cure from anything. Dahainu, gimel midos hanal, this refers to the three things which we described before. Shehem bechinas gimel avodos hanal, these are the three types of avodah. Shmiras habris is a concept of gilui arayos. Kilkel Amunah is a concept of Avodah Zarah. Embarrassing someone is Shfichas Damim. The Gemara uses the word Hamalgam Pnei Chaver Barabim. You insult him, his face changes colors. That's called spilling blood. So those three obviously refer to these three sins. Avodah Zarah, Gil Arayos, Shfichas Damim. Hainu, the Mishnah is telling us, Kishe Yotzei Megimel Midos Elu, if a person removes himself from these three evil characteristics, Azai then, Bakoil Misrapin, he'll be able to get his refuah from anything at all, Afilu Belechem Omayin, even in bread and water, which have no herbs, no medical ingredients, he'll be able to get cured. Why? Ki kishehu chutz migimel avodes hanal, when he has extricated himself from these three a bad kind of avodes, Va'azai zeche la'avodas hatfila, then he zeche to the other kind of avodah, which is the avodas hatfila, Azai yochoy lehisrapois b'chol dovar sheboilam kanal. Then he can draw his refuah from any kind of any item in the world. He doesn't need a special mixture of chemicals. He doesn't need a pharmacist at all. Hashem gives him a power to be able to draw medical powers from any single food item that he eats. Period. Anybody who understands this is such a fantastic interpretation of a Mishnah. He's not changing. He's showing you how you can teach these same words a totally different way, where this is Marami is to the Chiddush that Rabbein Ezal said before. How he explained that if a person wants his tefillah to really be potent, it involves these three things. It involves a purity in dealing with women, al pi Kabbalah, this is very obvious. Tefillah is Malchus. Malchus draws its light from Yisoy, which is the sphere above it. If your bris is not pure, then how can you expect your tefillah? Then the place where your tefillah is supposed to draw its whole chiyus from is broken. It's a broken keli. Emunah is Malchus also. Avodah Zarah, Emunah is referred to as Malchus. It has nothing of its own, no light of its own. Ulim teshapir tetlas lining. If your Emunah is no good, your tefillah is no good. And thirdly, if you insult people, your tefillah won't have any value. This goes back to the beginning of the Torah. tefillah, a person davens to Hashem, there are malachim standing there with baseball bats, ready to hit a home run with your tefillah, ready to send it into outer space, the opposite direction. How do you avoid that? How do you avoid that kina? How do you protect yourself that they shouldn't be able to mess up your tefillah? The answer is, al tehi boz l'chalodom. By not insulting any other Jew, by doing the opposite. The Arizal says a person's supposed to say, Hareini mekabel alai mitzvah sesa shel v'yohafta l'reacha kameicha. Before you start davening any tefillah, by doing that, that's where you're really totally demolishing this concept of al tehi boz l'chalodom. That, sure, I don't take any Jew lightly. I'm mekashe myself to every single Jew in Klal Yisrael. A tefillah that comes up to heaven, niskashir, to all 600,000 Jews, there isn't a malach or a unit of malachim in heaven that can touch that. No way in the world. The pasuk says, Hein keil kabir v'lo yimos. Hashem never despises or rejects a tefillah of a plural, a tefillah of a rabbim. A person, even if he's having his spedidus in his own house or out in the field, but before he starts davening, he acknowledges that he's a zero, that he wouldn't dare attempt to shoot a tefillah up to heaven, knowing that malachim could rip it up on the way. The Gemara says this thing happens. How does he attempt to do it with the hope that he's going to succeed? By starting off with these words, Hareini mekabel alai mitzvah sesa shel v'yahavta l'reacha kamoicha, by saying Hareini mekasher atzmi l'chol tzadikim amitim, then I know it's not my tefillah that's going up. My tefillah is going up united with all the neshamis of Israel, especially the tzaddikim. Then I can hope that my tefillah is going to reach where it's supposed to get to, the kisei hakavod. It's going to accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish.
Is that related? In other words, like, the person had a moon of Avodah Zarah, and you had the shemar, so just
right. Late, most that's what I just explained before. Okay. That insulting a Jew, the Gemara refers to that as spilling his blood. When a person gets embarrassed or insulted, his face changes colors. That's called spilling blood. That's murder. The Gemara classifies that as murder.
So
would Lashon Hara be included in this? 1,000,000,000%. Although Lashon Hara, usually the person ends up finding out somehow, Chas V'Shalom, and you did insult them. This obviously includes any kind of wrong type of relationship with a Jew. Anything other than loving every Jew and speaking highly of a Jew. You have nothing highly to say about a Jew, then keep your mouth closed. Then speak about a table. Speak about the pimples on the wall. If you can only find something negative to say about any Jew, have your tongue surgically removed. You'd be better off. Especially with the things going on now, this is all silly. We love every Jew. We love even the this one. No question.
If somebody is deliberately trying to drive you up a wall,
right?
Could you say to them a particular word that describes that process by calling them by that name? Stop.
If you're doing it to help the person.
If you're doing it to help yourself, you're going crazy.
The answer is you should have other ways to help yourself. The Pasuk says that Paroi was chasing the Jews, or Paroi Hikriv, that when the Yidden were being chased out of Mitzrayim, Paroi was chasing them with the armies and everything, and they saw the ocean in front of them, and they saw snakes and scorpions on either side. So the Pasuk says, with Paroi Hikriv, and Paroi was approaching. So the Zohar Kodesh says, we mentioned this before, it should have said Paroi Korav, Paroi, what's Hikriv? Paroi brought them close to Hashem. When the Goyim start harassing the Jews, a Jew is not supposed to turn around and start yelling four-letter words. He's supposed to turn up and say, Hashem, he's killing me. Person's supposed to daven that. Is person supposed to use that as an excuse to bring him closer to Hashem? When somebody's harassing you, if it's a Jew, use that as an excuse. That gives me something else to daven for now. Now I have something else to speak to Hashem about. Not that I'm going to ask Hashem to punish him. I'm going to ask Hashem, I have this problem. Is there any... For his sake, purely, you shouldn't bother me, you shouldn't drive me up a wall. If a Jew hurts another Jew, I know that you punish people for that. I don't want to see him punished. I want to see him good. Help him be zecher to get the seichel, not to bother me, not to harass me.
What's the significance of the emphasis on calling bad and
good avodas? The answer is because we had said earlier that tefillah is called avodah. So in other words, we want to show tefillah is called avodah. Therefore, if we find other things that are called avodah, those things are either a support for tefillah or the opposite of tefillah. Rabbi Ezal brings here, you should know that there are three things listed in the Torah that are referred to as avodah, but a bad kind of avodah. And therefore, these are the zeh l'umas zeh of tefillah. These are the opposing forces of tefillah. If a person tries to daven to Hashem and he's stuck to these three bad characteristics, it's going to subtract from the effect of his tefillah. So Rabbi Nizal zeroes in on the word. In other words, whenever the Torah uses a specific word for something, there's a significance. It's to teach us something. If the Gemara says that the Hebrew word that we associate with tefillah is avoda, then by studying that word, looking where it's found, in what context, we're going to know what helps tefillah and what could harm tefillah. That sounds very musical. Let's go. Now Rabbi Nizal says, now Rabbi Nizal is going to go into describing something that the Goyim are first, the medical geniuses are first becoming alerted to now. This illness, Rahman al-Islam, called cancer or other types of sicknesses. Rabbi Nizal is going to show his knowledge of dealing with sick patients.
Very quickly, you said that the Avodah Zarah related to the Emunah.
Kilkul and Emunah, of course. The Sartem, Avodah Tamil Kamachem. That's what Rabbi Nizal said earlier. Rabbi Nizal says, "V'da'ah, you should know, sheyesh chiluk ben hachaylas. There are differences between sicknesses, different types of sicknesses, number one. Number two, different stages within an illness, as he's about to explain. Listen to this. Kiyesh chaylas, there is a sickness, shehu b'chinas tzaymeach, which is a concept of growing, a plant. It's like a plant, meaning, kamoy shezoyren galen bor, it's just like when you want to plant a tree or a sapling. You throw a seed into the ground, v'hum nerkav, the seed has the first rot, the yotze mimenu shamnunis, there's like a liquid that comes out of this rotting of the seed, that's what first happens, v'nas gidin, and then there are these thin strands that extend from that liquid that leaks out of the rotted seed, v'nitaish, until a root is formed. That's how a root of a plant is formed. U'mimenu yotze kamo anofim, and from that comes forth branches, u'me'elu anofim oid anofim acherim, and that branches out into other branches, ad shetzaymeach ha Peri, until finally the final product of this whole growth process of a tree is the fruit on the tree. Rabbi Nizal says, "Kamaykein, so too, yesh chaylas shegodel ba'odom kamoshonim. There are illnesses that are growing within a person. They're maturing. The illness is maturing within a person over a period of many years. V'yesh chaylas shehu ba'odom b'toylodom e'oveviimoy. There are illnesses that are hereditary, that actually come from birth, that transferred via genes, this term that the Goyim use, from the father and mother. This thing is passed down. Rahman al-Itzlan, varicose veins, other things that doctors have identified clearly that it seems to be something that could be hereditary, something that's passed from parent to child. And at times you would say, so what? If I got this from birth, it should show itself, you know, at age one. Sometimes you could have an illness that a person gets from birth and it doesn't manifest itself, it doesn't surface until the person's 70 years old, Rahman al-Islam, or at an older age. At the time that this illness is growing and maturing, unfortunately at that time, the illness is completely hidden from the human eye. You have no way of identifying that it's there, of noticing that it's there. And nobody knows about this. A person is walking around with a bomb inside of him that's growing, and nobody knows about it, Rahman al-Islam. Rak, however, rak, sheyesh mechushim shenoylodim bodom, at times there are symptoms that are born, that are created within a person, oz be'es gidul hachilas, during the time that the illness is maturing, it's what's a better word? Festering, like maturing isn't a good word for illness. During the time that the illness is festering, shehem simonim al hachilas. These symptoms give you are an early warning system to let you know that this illness is growing within the body. Number one. V'chein so to berufuais ha'asavim. When we talk about medicines, yesh gamkein chilukim. There are also many, many differences. Sheyesh chaylas, there is a certain type of illness. Sheyuchal lehisrapois alidei esav eched. It can be cured by one medication alone. A medicine made from one specific type of herb or plant is the medicine that services this type of illness. V'yesh chaylas gotel mizeh, there is a more severe type of illness. Shetzrichen lerefuosoi murkovim, that in order to cure this illness, it requires a mixing of plants
plants, a mixing of medicines, laharkiv kamo asabim lerefosoi, to mix together a few different types of plants in order to prepare a medication for this illness. V'yesh shetzrichen refuois mimerchakim lerefosoi. There are certain illnesses where the medication for it has to come from a very distant place. It only grows in one or two places in the world, the type of herb that's needed to cure this type of illness. V'yesh cholas, there's another kind of illness, rachmona l'tzlan, she'ein mo'yeloi shum refuah, for which there doesn't exist a medication that can cure this illness, rachmona l'tzlan. Ki koyach ha'cholas godoel mikoyach ha'asavim. What does that show us? That the power of this illness is superior. It surpasses the power of any medication on this earth, period. Rabbein Azal says, "Ubetchilas tzmichas hacholas, when an illness is first festering within the body, koidim shenitzmach, before it actually grows into anything major, venizgal, and becomes apparent, hoyu yecholin lerapoy soysoy bekal. At that point in time, it's very easy to cure an illness. Even the most serious illness, when it's first starting off, it's pretty easy to be able to cure it. You hear the way doctors talk. We caught it early, so it's treatable. Not just treatable, but we can treat it pretty easily because they happen to catch it early in its early stages. Rak elamai, what's the problem? Rak she'oz hoyonel amvinista me'en koil. The problem is that many illnesses, when they are in this early stage, they cannot be identified whatsoever. With all the x-rays and telescopes that they have, you see what goes on. People go for heart checkups, you know, for the past 10 years, then suddenly, 10 years later, a doctor finds something, and the doctor is forced to admit that this didn't show up in one cardiogram or anything that he was doing for the past 10 years, although it's obvious that this thing was there the whole time. So we see there exists such a power, Rachmana Litzlan. Avol kishavi chazin bebechinas devar Hashem. But a person who is zeiche to grab onto this devar Hashem, bebechinas tefila kanal, a person who is zeiche to this tool called tefila, she'azai mekablin horafua mikol hadvorim sheba'ilo mafilu milechem umayim, such a person, his medicinal power can be drawn from anything. He doesn't have to use something coming in a bottle from a drugstore. He can get his medication in bread or water. Bebechinas bakoil misrapin kanal. As the Mishnah said, bakoil misrapin. This person achieves a madrega where he can be cured with anything. Anything can cure him. Azai yechilin lehisrapois afilu be'ez tzmicha sacholas be'ez shehu nistar me'ein hodom. Such a person could get a cure for his illness, even at the time that the illness cannot be identified by any human being at all, because it's first starting to grow, he can get his refuah at that point in time. Why? Because he doesn't have to go to a pharmacist. He doesn't need anything fancy prepared. He can be sitting at home taking a glass of soda, and that'll happen to have medicinal power in it, because he's zeichet to be davening. Rak refuasei de lechem umayim. His cure can come through bread and water, kanal. Al kain, therefore, gam oz. Even at that point in time, haino ba'ez she'adayim lo nizgala hachelas. At the point in time where the sickness has not shown itself yet, yuchal gam kain lehisrapoisei de lechem umayim she'icheloz. Such a person could get his cure at that point in time from bread and water that he eats and drinks at that point. Period. Rabbein Azal showing you what the competition is between tefillah and medicine. He's here, he gave you a whole review. You could have gone to a hospital and gotten a 20-hour lecture from a doctor. He gave it to you in one paragraph. He explained the whole problem with doctors and medicines and illnesses. The problem is that an illness is not something that comes in 1 second. It's something that grows very slowly. And the earlier it can be caught, the more of a chance there is of curing it. At LMI, there's other problems. Certain medications have to be brought from other parts of the world, and by the time they get, and you have to be able to afford to buy it, or to have somebody sent there to get it. Serums, different things that we know that this is the situation. Or the time that it takes to get it, or to invent it, or to make enough of it, isn't enough to service all the people that need it. Or the fact that to be able to identify an illness early enough, to be able to tell what it is and what its cure, all of these problems, Rabbein Azal shows how tefillah, because of the fact that you're going to the Dvar Hashem, which creates a situation where you don't have to come on to medicine, then in the normal things, in your routine meals, you can be actually taking medication. When? If you're zeichet to be from those Jews who daven, who are oisik in tefillah, with all the enhancements that we described before, that kind of tefillah, tefillah that's free of avodah zarah, gvilah ra'ish, v'chazdanim, etc. Now Rabbi Nazar is going to show everything he just said, how it's alluded to in a pasuk in Chumash. Rabbi Nazar says, "V'zeh bechinas." Now we could understand the pasuk that Hashem told the Yidden when they came out of Mitzrayim, right after the Aseres Hadibrois. The pasuk says that Hashem said to the Jews that if you listen to everything I tell you to do, and if you follow the mitzvahs, and you this, and you that, kol hamachlo asher samti b'Mitzrayim lo yosim olecho, all the illnesses, meaning the plagues that I inflicted on the Egyptians, I will not inflict on you. Ki ani Hashem roifecho, because I am Dr. Hashem. Ki ani Hashem roifecho, I am Dr. Hashem. V'hikshu kol ha-meforshim, and all the meforshim ask an obvious question. Im lo yosim matzerech l'refua, why does Hashem need this disgusting title of doctor if he's saying that if the Jews will be good, he won't place any illnesses? If you'll be good, I won't place any illnesses, and I'm a doctor. If you're not going to place illnesses, I don't need a doctor. All the Meforshim ask this question, and they try to offer different answers. Here's Rabbi Nazal's answer to this. Rabbi Nazal says, Pirish avalafi hanal, but based on what we just said, meyushav heteg, you can understand pshat in this pasuk very well. Pirish, what does it mean? Kol hamachlo loy osim olecho, all of these illnesses I will not place upon you. What does that mean? Hainu shelo yovi yois cholidei machlo klal. Hashem will not bring the person to a status, to a stage in the illness where it's called this illness, where it's called this item because it's become recognizable already, it's become identifiable. Why? Ki yirpe oischo mikoidem be'eis tzmichas hamachlo. Hashem will cure you earlier, when the illness is first starting to grow and nobody even has a label for it, they can't even notice that it's there. It has no name yet because nobody knows that it's alive yet. That's when Hashem will cure you. V'zeh ki ani Hashem roifecha. Why does the pasuk say, because I am Hashem, ani is singular. Hashem, it seems that Hashem is trying to point out something about, something personal about Hashem that nobody else can do. Rabbi Nazar says, ani Hashem daiko, that's the underlying word here. Hashem is stressing, you know why I can do this? Because I'm Hashem. Meaning, hainu be'ez tzmicha samachlo, at the time that this illness is first starting to fester, at that point in time, I'm the only one who knows that the illness is there. I, Hashem, oz erpa ischa. That's when I'll cure you. How? Al yidei bechinas dvar Hashem, bechinas tefillah, through the power of the dvar Hashem, which means tefillah. V'lo yovoi lidei machlo klal, and you will never enter the stage which is classified as this illness, meaning once the illness has gone to a point where it's there and people know it's there and they give it a name and you're called a sick person. Before that, you weren't called sick at all. The only one who knew that you were sick was Hashem. He saw that this thing was starting to grow. He'll be cured beforehand when it's first starting to grow. And all of this is dependent on the tikkun of tefillah, as we mentioned before. And perfection of tefillah is dependent on perfecting oneself in the three things that we mentioned before. And this also, we're going to show how this is all hinted to in that pasuk. Look at what that pasuk says now. Vezehu bechinas, this is what the pasuk says there. The pasuk says, Vayomer, Hashem said, Im shamoya tishma l'koy Hashem alekecha. V'hayoshor be'enov ta'ase. That's number one. You will do what is righteous in Hashem's eyes. Number two, v'ha'azanto le'mitzvaysov. You will listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem. Number three, v'shomarto kol chukov. You will obey all of Hashem's chukim, all the mitzvahs for which a reason is not given. Then, kol hamachla, shesam yitzrayim les molecha. Rabbi Nazar is going to show how these three things refer to the three problems we mentioned before. Hayosher be'enov tase, you will do what is smooth in Hashem's eyes. Ze hepech bizyanoshim, that refers to the opposite of one who insults people. Ki kishemavaz anoshim, a person who insults people. Nemar, the posuk in Iyov says that a person who goes and insults people, what does he have to do? What's his tikkun? Yoshuru al anoshim. The Gemara says in Yuma that he's mechuyev to line up rows of people. V'yomar, and say in front of people, Chotosi, I have sinned, I insulted, I embarrassed this person, V'yoshor he'evisi, and it's true that I have committed a crime against the person. Note the word that's used there, yoshor, yoshuru. That word is used about insulting another person. That's what the Pasuk in Iyov is talking about there, that if a person is going to get sick and he's going to find himself suffering, and he'll find out that what was the reason for this? Because he insulted another person. And what should he do then? He should line up people, gather together a group of people, and in front of them confess the fact that he insulted this other person. Note the word that's used there, Yoshuru v'yoshor he'evisi. That corresponds to the words in the Pasuk, v'hayoshor be'enof tase. As the Gemara learns out in Yuma, the Gemara says there that this refers to the halacha, that a person who insults somebody must line up three rows of three people, the Gemara learns out over there, and confess in front of them that he embarrassed somebody. Number one. Number two, v'ha'azanto le'mitzvaysov, you will listen to the mitzvah, to the tzivui of Hashem. Where is this word tzivui used? Zebechinas tikkun abris. That refers to mila, the mitzvah of mila, tikkun abris. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, v'yomol avrocham es Yitzchok benoi, Avrom avinu malad his son Yitzchok ben Shmuel Asyonim when he was 8 days old, kasher tzivo oiso yelokim. As Hashem tzivui over there is used, v'ha'azanto le'mitzvaysov, and note, the Gemara stresses, why did Avraham Avinu wait till then? Why did Avraham Avinu wait by his own bris till 99 years old? Why didn't he do it earlier? If Avraham Avinu learned Torah, the answer is Godol Hametzuva Vayser. That's where we learn out Godol Hametzuva Vayser, Mishena Metzuva Vayser. Avraham Avinu could have done the mitzvah earlier, but he knew that the credit for one who is commanded to do a mitzvah is greater than one who's not commanded. Why? Because one who's commanded has the Yetzirah that'll oppose him. So we see that it's this mitzvah of Mila specifically where the underlining term is Tzivui, Kasher Tzivo Yisrael Yelikim. So when the Pasuk says v'hazanto l'mitzvaysov, that refers to tikkun abris, that refers to mila. Next, v'shamarta kol chukov, and you will listen to the chukim of Hashem, ze bechinas tikkun emunah. That refers to faith in Hashem, because chayk is something that you don't understand, you have to accept it on pure faith, on simple faith. Hepech avodah zarah, which is the opposite of avodah zarah, which is called pigam emunah, shenemar aleihem about avodah zarah. What is avodah zarah called? Chukos ha'amim hevel hu. That's where the word chayk is used in a derogatory way. So we see chayk refers to purity and emunah, the opposite of avodah zarah. The emunah the goyim is called chayk, the emunah the yidden is called chayk. So Rabbi Nezal says, so we see that what does the pasuk say here? If you listen to Hashem, listen to Hashem in what? In three items. You won't insult anybody, you won't commit murder, no shvichas domin, you'll have shmira sabris. Number three, you'll have pure emunah. Then, kol, the pasuk continues, va'azai, kol hamachlo asher samti b'mitzrayim lo yosem alecha. The pasuk continues, then, all the illnesses that I placed on the Egyptians, I won't place upon you, ki ani Hashem rifecho. Ki azai, because a person like this, who perfects himself in these things, tatfila b'shleimus, that person's tefillah has shleimus to it, v'yochoy lehisrapo yisayidei dvar Hashem, b'chol advorim shebo'ilam, and he can be cured through with the dvar Hashem, through anything in the world. He doesn't need something from a drugstore. Anything will help him. Even before the illness begins to show itself in any way. As the Mishnah said, that a person who is zeichet to shleimus hatfila, that person is zeichet to this madrega of bakoil misrapin. He doesn't need a drugstore, he doesn't need a doctor, he doesn't need a surgeon. Tefillah alone can help him get his cure, because tefillah has an advantage over the doctors, over the pharmacists, over all of them. The fact that tefillah can catch the illness when Hashem knows about the illness, before anybody else knows, even knows that the person is sick, that's the point in time that tefillah goes into effect. It's the Dvar Hashem. Hashem is alerted to the illness before anybody else. That's the time when it's easiest to catch, and Hashem cures him right at that time. Period. Just 1 second, let's just end on this footnote. This footnote is just to clarify that note, that then you would say, hold on a second, this seems to tell us that what's the whole chiddush in curing a sickness? You got to catch it right away in the beginning. What if doctors have found out that a person's already sick? does that mean that now tefillah doesn't go into effect? Because we said that the whole chiddush in tefillah is that it can catch it early. That's what this footnote comes to explain. Ve'gam kishenoylad v'nitzmach hamachlor. Note, even after the illness has already taken shape and it's there and it's been identified, recognized, kigoyin kishen zoyche lehisrapes mikoydem. For example, if a person was not zoyche to get his cure before the illness, you know, started showing itself, azai gam ken yuchal hisrapes aydei b'chinas dvar Hashem. Don't make a mistake. Even at that stage, you could still be cured from the dvar Hashem, gam mimachlo gemura, even from a complete illness. In other words, when it's already been labeled a certain illness. B'bechinas, as the pasuk says, look at what the pasuk says there. Uberach eslach mecha v'esmaymecha. Two types of blessings. Blessing number one, that if you're in such a stage of illness where your illness can't even be identified, Hashem will bless your bread and water, that God will be able to cure you even before the illness surfaces. But that's not all it says. It says also, V'hasiroisi machlo mikirbecho. I will remove illness from you. Hainu machlo gemura. The pasuk is trying to emphasize that even after you have a solid illness, even then, tefillah applies, and tefillah can be helpful. Because through the Dvar Hashem, a person can be cured at any point in time. Even when the doctors have given up on him, tefillah can still cure. Not just can it cure, but tefillah, at a time that a person has been identified to be terminally ill, tefillah can make it that his medication should be a bagel with butter, or a glass of water. That should bring about his refuah. And this Hagor gives us another knach, another emphasis on the pasuk. That note, the pasuk is stressing two options of being cured. That tefillah is so incredible that it can resolve 99% of the problem that doctors have, that, you know, people haven't identified the illness. But even that alone is not enough. Tefillah can even help. V'hasiroisi machla mikirbecha. That you already have the machla and you've been labeled such and such a victim. Even then, the pasuk testifies. V'hasiroisi machla mikirbecha. It'll remove even a full stage illness from the person. Chas v'shalom.
Something on this concept of, it seems like stressing the fact that how do you take bread or water, whatever, and the cure being placed in that, as opposed to, let's say, just by davening alone getting the cure.
Exactly.
I mean, how does this differentiate? In other words, this is saying, but it's only this person who draws this. Because let's say a medicine in the world, there's anybody who can take a bottle of medicine and get cured from it.
Right.
But this same piece of bread, if somebody else eats this bread, he doesn't get the cure.
No, chas v'shalom. No, the point is that if you daven, bakul misrap, in anything you eat, anything, the power, the medication can be put into anything. That's the emphasis. Bread and water are being used as symbols because that's, in other words, it's like you can't get any more simple than that. Bread, what shaychus does bread have with medicine? Let's say coffee, it's got a drugs, caffeine. This has sweetness, it promotes the metabolism. Bread has nothing. Water has nothing. There's a shaila if you make a bracha on water if you drink it when you're not thirsty. That's how simple water is. You're being told that even that could be used as your cure. We're not underlining the word lechem amayim at all. We're saying that even the two things that are classified as the simplest forms of food on this world, even that will be able to cure you. That's what we said last week. This also corresponds to a halach in Shulchan Aruch that you should know that a Jew is obligated to partake in food. Which two foods specifically? There's a special mitzvah starting off the day with bread and water, with Pashachbis. Breakfast must include the bread plus a liquid.
Isn't that an indication that bread, in particular, is a food that has
a
refuah as opposed to other foods?
Not, put it this way, you mean from the fact that the Shulchan Aruch says that? Yes, definitely. In other words, the fact is that the Gemara and the Medrash and the Zohar Kodesh write home Megillah so that the value of bread, lechem, is three times Yudkei Vavkei, corresponding to the three parts of the brain. Chita is 22 letters, the wheat from which bread is made from. The Zohar Kodesh says corresponds to the 22 letters of the Torah. Pas is beginning like the Talmud, referring to Gemara. The Medrash Rabbah says that if you see a person walking, a person wakes up in the morning and he starts talking to you and says something stupid, you can assume one thing, he hasn't had his Pas Shachris yet. That's to the extent that the Midrash takes it. That Pas Shachris improves a person's brain. A person wants to talk intelligently, Pas Shachris, that's a prerequisite.
Why is it that people go to tzaddikim for refuah rather than than doing it themselves. It seems, there seems to be a special Indian, you know, going to what sounded like they're saying.
Come on. Because what did we just say? You need tefillah or you need blank tefillah? You need shleimusa tefillah. Can any tefillah accomplish all this? Rabbi Nizal just said that you should know that there are certain problems that people have, and that's what removes the potency of their tefillah. What? That any chance he gets to insult somebody, to find a fault in somebody, oh boy, he's Johnny on the spot. Or any chance, or his emunah in Hashem b'chlal, he believes a little bit, but the minute he gets a chance to make a buck, his emunah is gone, you know, that kind of thing. You know, would he close his store early on Erev Shabbos and know that Hashem will provide panosa? Or get nervous if he has to take off too many days for Yom Tov? You know, all of these things that show kilkul emunah. Or Shmira Sabris, which person can say that he's really, really pure totally from a pigam kolshel? That's the problem. That's why we have to come on to tzaddikim. Because the tzaddikim are the ones who have purified themselves in these three things and in all the things we said till now. And therefore, we trust that their tefillah will be superior to ours. That's not a license not to daven. Baloney. No way. You look in any Breslov sefer, you're going to see such emphasis. We don't go for this nonsense that I go to the Rebbe and I just have him do his thing and I can be doing averus. Nothing. By us, every chassid is a Rebbe. Every chassid, every single thing that's written in this sefer, the highest, is being told to you and to me. Picture the levels of kiddush he's talking about. He's talking about people in the 1700s, in 1980. I don't care how low you stoop. He's showing you how to become religious, how to improve your tefillah, how to perfect your tefillah. But you should know that not everybody's on the same level. So when you're faced with a crisis, you don't want to trust yourself. You would want to go to one whom you feel has reached the best height conceivable in the things that make a tefillah powerful, and ask him, please, I'm putting my confidence in you. Why? Because I believe that you've done what a Jew is supposed to do so that his tefillah should have chashivus in Hashem's eyes. Please have rachmanas on me. Please daven for me. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Override your own perfection?
100%. 1,000,000%. We find it throughout the Torah. The Gemara is filled. That's this stupidity, this amaratzis that the Misnagdim have, that they look at this like a big chiddush. People go to a Rebbe, ask them to daven, where did they get this from? The answer is open up any Gemara in Shas. You're going to have examples of somebody that's sick or any type of crisis. They went to ask Tanon, they went to Rabbi Hanina ben Daiso, or they went to a grave. A person was being harassed by people in his community. He went to the grave of his father, the grave of his Rebbe, and he asked him to please be mispalil for him to Hashem, that the problem should stop, and the Gemara says the problem stopped. So any person who isn't chassidish in those ways, is simply because of amaratzis. They just don't learn Gemara, so you don't know how to be a chassid. Very simple. You don't realize that what the Gemara wants of a person is what today has been labeled this cute word, chassid. It's an Orthodox Jew, it's a chassid. Very simple.
One thing that I understand is always the concept of an exception to the rule. But if you find a case that, for example, Rabbi Nizal, we believe, was perfect in all these levels, all these levels, he had the machla of TV. And I mean, one you could always come up, you could always say, as an answer that, well, this had nothing to do with, one had nothing to do with the other.
Correct.
In other words, is it the fact that, but I mean, the point still remains, so then, okay, partly, why wasn't it number one, and who can achieve such a level, and what's your guarantee that if we get that level, will it be done?
I'm going to answer your question spectacularly, right? Because it's not going to be my answer. This question was asked, where in Torah Samachay Likudimran, Rabbi Nizal once told a Torah to his Talmidim, where he said, you should know that the Jewish Neshamais are referred to as a field, Chakal Tapuchim Kadishin, a field of holy apples, a field of Revovo Kitzema Chasod and Esaticha. Hashem says about the Jewish nation, I have made you plentiful like the blades of grass of a field. So the Neshamais are compared to a grass, blades of grass. And Rabbi Nizal on that Torah refers to the Tzadik Emes as the caretaker of the field. He's called the Baal Hasoda. And Rabbi Nizal says that this Baal Hasoda is Mashkiach. He supervises everything that goes on in that field. Everything. He knows how to plan things properly, the type of distance that has to be kept between certain things in order that they should grow properly. He knows when to sprinkle water, when not, when it's too much water. He knows everything about running, operating that field, irrigating it, everything that's associated with it. And Rabbi Nizal says there that at times, the maintenance of the field requires pain, requires suffering. and it requires different, and he explains why and what over there. But Rabbi Elazar says in that Torah that there is a tzaddik who can achieve, and Rabbi Elazar says at times the maintenance of that field warrants the passing away of a tzaddik. That a tzaddik is required to actually pass away in order for the field to be able to be maintained properly. That's what kind of level of suffering, in a sense, it takes to be able, and he explains it. We had it, you can refer, those that didn't learn that Torah, you can refer to the tape, so look at it inside yourself. That's not our topic for now. But Rabbi Nizal explains about it that there has to be this kind of thing. But Rabbi Nizal says in that Torah, but there is a tzaddik who can achieve all of this during his lifetime. In other words, he doesn't have to pass away, etc., etc. When Rabbi Elazar got sick, right before he was about to pass away, one of his closest talmidim, Rav Naftali Zal, confronted him with this, and he said, Rabbi, I don't, because Rabbi Elazar kept hinting to them that he's going to die, and he's going to die soon. And Rabbi Elazar mentioned to them that it's because of all the tikkunim of the neshamais that he has to accomplish this, that. That's part of the reason, because there are so many neshamais that are waiting for him to help them, and the only way he can help them is by his passing away. So Rav Naftali Zal told him, but Rabbi, didn't you tell us in this Torah Nekudamaran that there is a tzaddik who can do all of this during his lifetime? That's sort of parallel to your question. Your question is that we're saying that there is a concept of tefillah that can remove sickness, then how is there a potential for a tzaddik passing away? The answer is, or getting sick, or getting sick even. Okay, passing away from an illness. The answer is, Rabbi Elazar answered Rav Naftali Zal, that what I said over there was only one certain aspect of it. Meaning that the fact is, that was the overshadowing fact is, that even that there isn't a tzaddik who can accomplish every single aspect of this maintenance of the field without having to pass away at certain points in time. You understand? This is what he answered him at that time. So although Rabbi Nazal had seemed to imply in the Torah that there is a concept of being able to accomplish all of this without dying, Rabbi Nazal qualified it and explained it. Not that he retracted what he said, chas v'shalom. He said that when I said that, I meant a certain bechina of the maintenance of this field can be done. You have a tzaddik who's so great who can do it without passing. But in actuality, it definitely does warrant the tzaddik passing away. Now, the issue of illness, so I mentioned this is sort of an answer to your question on one hand. On the other hand, bechlal, a general rule, whenever we talk about a tzaddik getting sick, in any time, there's a pasuk in the Torah that says, "V'hu mechalel mipsha'enu." He becomes sick because of our sins. The tzaddikim, when they suffer, when they get sick, it has nothing to do with them themselves. It's not like his tefillah isn't working. This is something that he accepted upon himself willingly on behalf of Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu accepted upon himself to be buried outside of Eretz Yisrael and to go through all kinds of things on behalf of Bnei Yisrael. That was his Mesiras Nefesh, Ki Merachamim Yenagim, the Rachmonis that a Jewish leader has, that he's willing to accept. Not that, in other words, he could demolish it through tefillah, but he knows there are certain things that can only be achieved. There's a certain level of kapora for Bnei Yisrael at times which can only be achieved through suffering. Proof is, it's a Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara says that there are certain sins which are forgiven. Yom Kippur is mechaper. There are certain other sins which Yisurin olach. What do you mean? Where does Yisurin come into it? What kind of lakshin is this? Yisurin? Who needs it? Yom Kippur can't help? Tefillah can't help? No. Hashem has created this being called Yisurin, which is a function of Kaporas Avinais. It's a manner of Kaporas Avinais. And it's unique. There are certain things that can be achieved through Yisurin that cannot be achieved through any other way. You have the Moshe that Rabbi Nizal gave in Chaim Aron about Machlekes. Rabbi Nizal said, imagine this week's parasha, Koirach. Rabbi Nizal said, Moshe Rabbeinu was the smartest Jew to ever walk this earth. You mean to say you believe? In other words, what happened? There were situations created whereby people were talking about him, murmuring about him. The Gemara says that a person should watch himself, a person, v'hi'isem nekiyem me'elikim o me'odam, that a Jew is supposed to perform in such a way that nobody could ever say something bad about him, nobody could ever find fault in him. Rabbi Nizal says, you mean to say that Moshe Rabbeinu, Olav HaSholim, who spoke to Hashem, Ponim El Ponim, who was bigger than the highest, he was the Rabbon Shel Kol HaMalochim, he wasn't intelligent enough to be able to carry on his association with their wives and all the cute things that were brought up in a manner whereby nobody would get jealous, whereby nobody... This takes brains. You could do it. In other words, there's a way of dealing with people where you generate jealousy, where people are jealous. You get a person who's smart enough, he can talk to another person in such a way where although he's superior and he has more money and more, the person will never resent it in any way. Why? Because with sechel is a way of talking to a person, dealing with a person in such a way to be able to eliminate this jealousy from the other person's heart. So Rabbeinu Zal says, you mean to say Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do that? Why didn't he do it? Rabbeinu Zal said the answer is because there are certain hecholim in heaven, there are certain palaces in heaven, there are certain yeshivas in heaven, where there's no way to be able to get into those places without Yisurim, without Machlekes Yisurim, without Mach. There are certain Hecholim and Shemayim which you can't get into unless you go through this specific type of suffering called Machlekes, having people harass you, insult you, this and that. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to accept it upon himself, because a tzaddik cannot hold back his desire from wanting to reach out to all of these hecholim, to all these levels of wisdom and everything. Therefore, sometimes it's too bad. It's too bad on some Jews, the ones who end up getting used for this process, the tzaddik flying up, getting entrance to these higher lamas. Each Jew has to watch himself that he shouldn't be the one chas v'shalom that gets used for this. So you see here that there's a concept of certain things which in a sense can't be avoided, that Hashem want this thing is supposed to be there. Here Rabbeinu Zal is addressing the 99.9% of people in the world, number one, and even by the tzaddik many times. There are certain situations where you get sick, where you should know that you can counter it with tefillah. You have this weapon which has the power to do everything we said so far. But you should know that there is now, Rabbeinu Zal, and that Torah, Samachem, Likutimaran, also reveals the side of what Yisurim do. The concept of, the power to be able to see. That when a person generally, Rabbeinu Zal explains, when a person wants to see at a distance, what do they usually do to their eyes? Squint. So there's a concept where to be able to see further, I have to constrict my vision. The more I constrict my vision, I can see further. When a person is in a dentist's chair, and the dentist gives a schlep, and he's about to, his kishkes are about to jump out from excruciating pain. What does a person do? He clenches his eyes shut very, very tightly. Why? Why is that within the human nature to do? Rabbeinu Zal says, because the fact is that anything Hashem does for a person is for the person's good. Elamai, who can understand that? Who can feel that totally? A person has to be on the level of Keser, the highest level of Kedusha, to get to a point where you totally feel that anything Hashem does for you is good. Out from excruciating pain. What does a person do? He clenches his eyes shut very, very tightly. Why? Why is that within the human nature to do? Rabbeinu Zal says, because the fact is that anything Hashem does for a person is for the person's good. Elamai, who can understand that? Who can feel that totally? A person has to be on the level of Keser, the highest level of Kedusha, to get to a point where you totally feel that anything Hashem does for you is good.